here's a story from The World.
The expression Arab Spring, referring to the protests that erupted 10 years ago, was never quite right. First of all, several uprisings started in the winter. But aside from that, for much of North Africa and the Arab world, the popular protests did not make life better. There was no rebirth, no spring, if you will. One country that might be an exception is where the uprisings began, Tunisia. Reporter Lilia Blaise has been speaking with Tunisians, asking them, are they better off now?
There is a lively political debate here about Tunisian democracy. But the real issue for many people is the economy. Inflation and rising food prices are a big worry. There is also a gas shortage. Protesters have blocked a production site in the south of the country. What they want is employment. In the city of Gafsa, I meet 35-year-old Samia. She's waiting in a long line of people hoping to buy a bottle of cooking gas. She's reluctant to tell her full name to a reporter.
I have two kids going to school and I need to make them breakfast in the morning. We haven't had gas for a month, so we've been cooking outside with charcoal. We don't know what to do other than pray.
Samia, but the protesters blocking the gas facility, she says she supports them.
Yes, they have the right. They have the right to do this because of the economic crisis. There are many people affected, not just us. They have been waiting for too long.
Unemployment in Tunisia is 16%. For the youth, it's 36%. Many young Tunisians with college degrees don't have jobs. In the seaside city of Gabès, I meet some protesters. They are blocking the road into an industrial zone. Youssef Hajej says what made today's protests possible were the events of 10 years ago.
Before the revolution, we had a dictatorship. There was no freedom. Now, regular people can protest peacefully and have their voice heard. This was an achievement for the Tunisian people.
After we talked, Youssef got in touch and tells me the protesters are suspending their sit-in because they are now negotiating with the government. But other peaceful protests around the country continue. Hamadi Tizawi is an economics professor at the University of Human and Social Sciences in Tunis. He says social unrest in Tunisia grows out of inequality.
La distribution des richesses à l'échelle régionale pose un...
The distribution of wealth is a problem. Because the regions where you have resources like gas and oil are not wealthy or thriving. These areas are focused on one industry, but they need to be more diverse economically.
Tizawi says Tunisia needs to modernize its economy and to help people in marginalized parts of the country. They were the first ones to rise up in 2011. Yasrine in the central west was quick to join the protests 10 years ago. A lot of people died there during the uprising. It's where I meet Jalel Alwi. He's a 43-year-old activist who says that his city did not benefit at all from the revolution. The politicians, he tells me, have been a huge disappointment.
There's too much corruption here. We thought that the government would come in with big public projects and reduce unemployment rates, but this didn't happen. Unemployment has gone up and poverty is worse now.
Beyond the economy, another goal of the revolution was about improving human rights. Amneger Ali, who is 48, is with Amnesty International in Tunisia. She says 10 years after the fall of President Ben Ali, the overall situation is mixed.
I think there is no clear-cut picture. There is no black and white. Freedom of expression, for example, is totally unprecedented if we compare it with what we had under Ben Ali. You know, people are able to express themselves freely today. Media, independent media have flourished. But despite that, there are still threats, even on the level of freedom of expression, because we have still the same laws that are in place.
Tunisia's judicial system is still a work in progress, says Siem Ben Sedrine. She's 70 years old, and she started her career as a journalist and human rights activist back in the 1980s. Ben Sedrine served as the head of the Truth and Dignity Commission, set up after the revolution.
On a transféré 200 affaires de violations graves
We managed to transfer more than 200 cases to special courts. These are serious violations, like murder, death under torture, rape, and other crimes against humanity. This is so the regime will be held accountable for its actions and to prevent impunity.
200 cases is a lot, but it's just a start. Ben Sedrine says the commission received more than 60,000 complaints. Political activist Cheima Bouhlel was only 21 years old when the protest started in December 2010. Now she says the thing that gives her hope is that people are still talking about the goals of the revolution and not giving up.
I'm happy with the experience that we've learned. We have included the idea of rights and institutions and accountability, even if it is not articulated in, you know, the way that we hoped. But I think it is there, which means that no matter what happens from this point on, I think there's no way for us to go back to pre-revolution. And I think 10 years after, this is something we need to be proud of and we need to be aware of despite the situation.
Bouhlel says the situation still includes economic challenges, corruption, and political strife. But the lesson that Tunisians learn from the revolution is that no one has to be silent anymore. For the World, I'm Lilia Blaise in Tunis. From PRX.